All right, Sunday morning, 10:09:22, we're going to do a teaching. We're going to talk about territorial spirits today. Got some interesting information. All right. We see in the Old Testament that there were areas mentioned that directly indicates that there have been, always been territorial spirits. Certain spirits over certain regions. We even see on some instances where they are named. We're going to have a look at that today. The first one to look at is Deuteronomy. But we know in the garden, before the fall, God told Adam to go in and take charge. And we know what happened. From the get-go, they lost it. All right, Deuteronomy 12. First three verses. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it. All the days that ye live upon the earth, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars, and break down their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hewn down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Yeah. In the addition we live in, we've got a right over here. From what I don't know for a fact, but they're probably Hindu, because it looks like Shiva, that statue there. Is it over there? Yeah, over there. But anyway, I'm thinking, Lord, He's got all those trees and all those things, you know. You know, I claim this complex for the kingdom of God. I claim every person that lives in this complex for the kingdom of God. And that people in this complex that are Christians will, the Lord would have divine appointments to those who aren't, those that are, yes, that will have divine appointments. Throw the devil out of this place. And anybody that's not going to do, come under God's lordship, that they can't stay in this place. Is that taking your land or what? So I'm going, okay, Lord, just right here in our front door. We got somebody, you can't tell me those little huts and those trees ain't to worship demons. And they're not that far from us. Yeah. But we have to be led by the Spirit to do so. God has to show us what to say, you know, in the right timing in all of this. All right, I think it's a fool that just treads on without finding out. You could end up like the seven sons of Sceva if you do not. Yeah. This isn't something to be taken lightly. This is something that we are going to have to say, okay, Lord, we know there's something there, and we know, but we're not sure, so we need your instruction on how to get the maneuvers or the things to say that we need to say to cause this entity to move out of our area. Because if you look in the Old Covenant, it was all about taking their ground back from the giants. All right. Deuteronomy 32. Oh, there's so much about it. I just picked just a few because I'm like, ugh. This is 32:15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not. To new gods they came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. It's like when you go into an area especially if you're not, you know, very versed in spiritual warfare and everything, people can succumb to that territorial spirit, act the way that spirit, whatever's behind it, whether it be promiscuity, you know, sexual sins or violence. Yeah. All right, 1 Samuel 7. People act the way they act because they are under the influence of demonics. That's why these people are so nasty. That's why people can be so cruel and do such horrible, heinous things. I don't think a normal human being would do that. They're under an influence. All right, 1 Samuel 7. And the man of Kiriath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kiriath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Does it really any wonder that the children of Israel were the worst idol worshipers and succumbed to the idols of the land they went into? I mean, we talk about the Khazarian Mafia of today. There they are. That's it. They're just, seem like they're just prone to that. I mean, God nearly destroyed him on several occasions because of that. And then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel in Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hands of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb, offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto has the Lord helped us. Now you know why they want to take away all our monuments, all our victories, our constitution, anything that pertains to holiness, righteousness, or godliness. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. Feel like an apostle, doesn't it? there was no apostles in the old covenant, but he judged Israel. He called them on the carpet about their ways. He cried out to the Lord in behalf of the nation. And he returned, and his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. So they had to clean out these places. They couldn't just go about their business and do their little shows at their churches and whatever, and just let the world go to hell in a handbasket. These things are still here. And they've moved in big time. All right, let's keep going. Samuel 17. Why do you think David was raised up? Yeah. Because Samuel didn't live much longer after David. Not really. David, a man after God's heart. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socho, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Socho and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. See, this war is going on. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard the word of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And David was a son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. But the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of the 3 sons who went to the battle of Eliab, firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. When we first started out in 1994, the Lord spoke to us, go learn about David and Saul, the difference between the two. One's a giant killer and the other one's afraid. Just puts up with the Philistines every day. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem, and the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. They just tormented. Didn't God say, if you don't take them out, Numbers 33, if you do not deal with them, they will be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. It's pretty thorny and prickly right now, isn't it? And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they, all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep of the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. This is all David did his whole life, his whole kingship. They fought battles. They took out the Philistines. And he inquired of the Lord about it. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defile Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Eliab, his eldest son, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from his him toward another and spake after the same manner, the people answered him again after this former manner. And when the words were heard, when David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And David said, or Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept thy father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed it with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took a staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it. It smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took a sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. That authority was taken out. That head represents authority. All right? So he took authority. David took authority. By taking off their head, he took out the authority of the evil one over their nation. Now, we're not doing it like David did, but David did it by faith. Even David really didn't do it. I believe it was that angel through that rock, broke that giant skull, cracked that foundation, that authority. And David finished it by cutting off his head as a sign. All right? God will not dwell with idols. And you know, we have to get to the place that we can no longer stand them either. That's why we're here. Because we have to hear from God. How do we take this authority out? I know there's spirits over this area. The Lord's shown us. We've talked about ley lines. We've talked about how these high places are exalted in these capitals with these domes, you know, and different things all over this nation. Satan's network is all over this nation. We got Philistines everywhere. So how do we take them out, Lord? When David did, he'd inquire of the Lord. But he wouldn't do it the same every time. He'd say, okay, now, Lord, I'll inquire of you again. What this time? Well, this time, won't you do it a little different way? God has a strategy for taking out the Philistines or whatever they are. Call them what you want. All right, 1 Kings 20. territorial spirits. They've been here when man lost his ground. They moved in. They took it. Let me get me a drink right quick. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. He went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. He sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, The silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest are mine. The king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine all that I have. And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children. Yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants. And it shall be that whosoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Does that sound familiar to you? We've been hearing this threatening from propaganda of these IRS agents coming in and just with their guns and taking everything you got. Same old spirit, same old Babylon. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children, for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. In other words, you fool. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me, and more also if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. And it came to pass, when Ben-Hadad heard this message, and he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, Set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 kings that helped him. The young men of the princes of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he said, Rather they be come out for peace, take them alive, or rather they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city, and the army which followed them, and they slew every one his man. And the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad the king of Syria escaped on a horse with the horsemen. The king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. So, do we have to just lay down and let it happen? No. We need to be listening to the Lord. What do you want us to do, Lord? What do you want us to do? I'm just telling you, this is something that's been going on in our world, Old Testament, now New Testament. It has to be stopped. All right? These networks are networked all over the world. All over the world. All right, we're going to read 1 Kings 17. Is that it? 2 Kings 17. In other words, since man lost his authority in the garden, this has been going on. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Eli, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. See, this is what has happened. The deep state has infiltrated our government, and it has compromised the Republicans and the Democrats. It overtook our whole Congress. And now we wonder why they would not make the right decisions. We wonder why they wouldn't vote for We the People. Because they're compromised. They accepted the payoffs. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. And in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in harbor by the river Gozan in the cities of the Medes. And for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. See, we abandoned God, and now we're under the crown, or we were. We're under the Babylonian system. We're just as captive as they were. The children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And the high places is where they worshiped idols. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. Oh. Yeah. And there they burned incense in the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yeah. God did not tolerate it then. He will not tolerate it now. We must hear from the Lord about how we take out these territorial spirits that we've been living under. Most Christians just go about their daily lives and never give it a thought that we live among territorial spirits. We just get used to it. This is the infiltration from within that the white hats are having to deal with. If they're not taken out, they will take over, and they nearly did. I'm not saying be rogue, but you need to cast out your spirits by the finger of God. In other words, you get God's plan. You get God to show you. Don't just do something. Don't just say something, but get a strategy. Jesus had to deal with these spirits when he was here, and he gave his disciples the power to deal with them also. Mark chapter 5. And they came over, verse 1, unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So it was probably a terrorizing neighborhoods. I mean, it was probably, you know, all over the place. If they tried to bind him, you know, he was messing with other people, tormenting people. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he should not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. All right, Acts 19. All right, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, for from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Just like the demons knew Jesus, the demons knew Paul. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and railed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Well, all Christians have authority of the devil, right? Yes, I believe they do, but I don't believe it's just spouting off stuff. I believe it's when you've been given a strategy and a plan, it's by the finger of God. It's not just by us just going in anywhere and just saying a bunch of stuff. We're all able to get more trouble than we want. Uh-huh. These territorial spirits stirred up the mobs of people to oppose evangelism. This was the reason Paul went through what he went through. He was bringing the gospel into heathen nations. These people were idol worshipers. And these demon spirits saying, Oh no, you're not taking my ground away from me. And Paul saying, Oh yes, I am. So they'd stir up the people against Paul. They'd beat him up, take him to prison, or whatever the case may be. All right? Here are the weapons to deal with against these spirits. The name of Jesus, the Word of God, righteousness. We better be walking in the right place. And then the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. All right? Mark 16, you know that one? They'll lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. They'll cast out demons. Speak in tongues. All right. Let's look at Luke 9. It says, verse 1, Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. There's another place where they said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. In your name, huh? Okay. All right. Should we identify the spirits by name? All right, we're going to look at that. Is it essential that these spirits be identified? As far as I know, Jesus only called out one. He only asked one in one instant, the devil's name. All right? All right. This is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It's not expedient to me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, rather in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, or rather out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, rather in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should be not a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God did not give Paul a messenger of Satan. It was because of the revelation of the gospel. It was because he was taking the gospel into the heathen nations. This devil come against him. God did not give Paul this devil. He told him how to deal with the devil, but he didn't give it to him. So don't think you're locked in. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. You know, I don't feel the grace on me when I don't need it. But when I have to be out and about and do things, I partake of it. God has not assigned an evil spirit to torment you. All right, let me just write here what I said, what the Lord said. God did not send an evil spirit to buffet Paul. Satan did. God just told Paul to use his grace to handle this entity. This entity was assigned to oppose Paul to hinder the evangelism. His revelation was God's strategy for taking the gospel into the Gentile nations and to lay down foundation doctrine. Lost my place. All right, these nations that were overrun by demonic entities. We have thought that Paul just had to put up with it, and since Paul had to, we have to. I say no, we don't. We have the authority to slay our giants just like David did with the finger of God. We are to take them out just and not just put up with them. I have made it a habit to bind the devil and any spirits wherever I go. I send the angel ahead to rout them out so that that when I shop or wherever I go, I do it in peace. I'm not harassed. I also break the power of darkness off of the place that I'm going into. Sometimes I say to them that they can come back when I'm gone. Sometimes I don't say that. These spirits are known to buffet with symptoms of sickness and disease. You are not sick, but you're invading the territory that they have stolen from us. They don't want to go. Just like the spirits asking Jesus to send them into the swine. There's no telling just how long they've been occupying that space. Looking at most Christians today, probably a long time. They haven't had any challenges. We have Christians all over social media saying, boycott! This is a big problem. We have the ability given to us by our Lord and Savior to bind the strong men and prevent them from manifesting against us in any way. It's just a matter of asking the Lord what we should do in each case. I hope this will help you understand what you've been experiencing and be able to go about your business and put these entities in their place. They are subject to us in the name of Jesus. God never said for us to accommodate them. He said to bind them and take back everything they've stolen from us. I was thinking about the movie War Room. This woman, her husband was getting off track, working for a drug company, was kind of stealing drugs and selling them on the side. Was thinking about having an affair against his wife, and she meets this lady, was a seasoned prayer warrior. And what happens? She teaches her how to kick the devil out and to take her house back, her home back, her husband back, and she did it. She kicked that devil right out of her house and told him, "Don't you come back." And he didn't. Then her husband got in line and everything was good. All right? That was a timely movie for this time. All right? If you won't, who will? Those entities might act up for a while and rent sore, but don't give up. Just stand your ground and don't back down. This is Mark 9. That's something I thought about your situation. When you got a demon renting sore, said, "Oh, stop that. Quit act." You know what I'm saying? We're going to read a scripture here. Mark 9:14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, the scribes questioning them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question you with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him." The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. He was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus looked, took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. We must develop the attitude like Paul, the shake, shake moment. What does that action mean? It says, "I'm not paying any attention to you, and I will not allow you to use your fear tactics to move me." I'm not saying to just do all this in your flesh. We should never invade an occupied territory without a plan from the Lord. Let me read that again. We should never invade an occupied territory without a battle plan from the Lord. But over time and dealing with stuff, you learn what is effective and what is not effective. You learn what works and what does not work in spiritual things, just like you do in natural things, right? All right, let's look at Acts 16, verse 6 and 7. Now when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they sailed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So these are two occasions, two areas that they were going to go into, and the Holy Spirit said, "No, don't go." So we need to be led by the Spirit. It's going to be a real challenge to get just Christians thinking right, but with God's help, we will prevail. It's sad to say that Satan and his minions have been more diligent than the church has been. They've been very diligent. There is a parable that talks about the people of this world are more subtle and wise than those of the kingdom. That's not the way it's said, but it's kind of what it means. It indicates that we get lazy and slothful and we let the devil just move in right in on us. When somebody of the world's a lot keener and smarter because they know the angles. We're too naive. Like, "Oh, well, all is well," you know. We just We just didn't have the right order so that we could learn what we needed to learn. I thank God for the last 8 years, God has taught us to be victors instead of victims. He's teaching us how to come out of this. I do believe by this passage of Scripture that Paul fought his way through and was the victor. This is Acts chapter 18, verse 23. This is after the shipwreck and all the stuff, you know, or it's before the shipwreck, actually. But anyway, and this is verse 20, what did I tell you, 23. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, and I'm reading the wrong thing, sorry. Am I? Just a minute. Yeah, I'm reading the wrong thing, I think. I think it's 28, not 18, sorry. Boy, I must have been really fat hurrying. It's 28:23. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jews, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, and departed after that Paul had spoken one word, well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hear, and ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and see, and ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their ears have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should not be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So he had times in his life where he was not just getting his brains beat out everywhere he went. But even in that, he had God's grace in it. All right? All right. Keep going here. Do we have to name the spirits we're dealing with? There's just two places, Matthew 5:9, Luke 8:30, where he asked the devil, the man with all the demons, what the name was. Legion. I believe this. If the Lord gives you a name, then fine. It's to help you know more clearly how to deal with the situation. I do not believe you have to say, you're the spirit of so-and-so. I don't believe that. All right, we see in Daniel 10, specific territorial spirits mentioned, the prince of Persia. You'll see throughout the Old Covenant, them mention different things like that. Revelation 9:11 talks about Apollo and Apollyon. Or Apollyon and what's the other one? Abaddon, Apollyon, territorial spirits, okay? Let me keep going here. These strange gods are mentioned all through the Old and New Testament, but I will just reference the ones shown in the New Testament. We already did that. There are just a few scriptures, and we'll read those. I'm not going to go into the Old Testament. It's just too many. All right, Romans 11. Verse 1 through 4. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, wherefore he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. I call it Baal. Some people call it Baal. Whichever. Yeah. which Molech and Baal were the ones where they sacrificed the children, passed them through the fire. All right. Acts 14. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt... Wait a minute. Is that 14? Sorry, 14:11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Laconians, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because of the chief speaker. Then the priests of Jupiter, which before their city brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice unto the people. So we see here they worshipped all these, what, mythology, Greek mythology or whatever the case may be. Well, you know, that has been the stronghold in these places for forever. All right, Acts 16:16. It came to pass when we went to the prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. Now it says it was a spirit of divination, but it does not say Paul called it a spirit of divination. And it doesn't say that he had immediately cast it out. It said many days. He had to hear from the Lord about it. Okay, to cast it out. All right, Acts 19. Well, I want these things gone, so we got to get God's strategy. Acts 19:23. In the same time there arose no small stir about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of the like occupation, and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, we see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are not made with hands. So they made their money out of making these idols. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. You know, Jesus talked to John about these churches, seven churches in Asia. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, having taught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Because they knew there's going to be some not good stuff. There's going to be a showdown. Some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused, and more part knew not that wherefore they were come together. They drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Sounds like the bunch we got today when they get out there on the streets and start their rhetoric and saying these things. They're demonic strongholds in these areas. You can recognize it by what they're saying a lot of times. Either they're doing violence and they're saying, let's take out the police. I'm telling you, this is going on today. It hasn't changed. Everywhere Paul and his team went into the Gentile nations, they were taking back territory. These false gods, demonic entities, caused them problems. What Paul and his team did was a threat to they were used to being there. They didn't want to leave, but they will recognize authority, like with Jesus and the demoniac. Well, nothing has changed. Beelzebub is used 7 times just in the New Testament alone. Beelzebub. He cast out spirits by the spirit of the devil. Beelzebub. So I say, I don't think you have to name the spirit, but if God does give you a name, go for it. He has a specific purpose for doing so. Well, we must know that there is one name that we are the most interested in, and that is the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. All right, look at a few more scriptures and we'll be done. Luke 10. I say, who care what their name is? The only name we need to be interested in is the name of Jesus. 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nonetheless, he said, don't make this a dwelling place. He says, nonetheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Say, we're not to go looking for demons under every rock. Well, there's a ley line here, ley line there, that you're so clued in onto that you don't remember my name is written in heaven. There's the focus, not on the demons, but on that. All right, John 17. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So he keeps us. In Revelation 12, I've read it to you so many times, I'm not going to read it again. It talks about the devil being cast out of heaven, and how he's gone to make war with the saints. It's still going on. And it will until that angel gets that chain and puts him in the pit. That tells me he must be going to chain him to the wall. He can't go anywhere. All I care is that Satan is cast down and out. The gift of discerning the spirits is very important. This is how we will be able to follow the Spirit when we have an encounter. By the Spirit, we'll be able to discern names, territories, etc. So, Satan is still doing what he's been doing since he took the earth from Adam. The same old things, stealing, killing, and destroying. I'm not saying to always have this on your mind, but when you encounter them, God will show you what you need to do. This is how Jesus did it. He went about doing and obeying the Father's will, and it would come across a situation, the Father would show him what to do, and he would do it. So that is what we need to do also by the finger of God.